From KUAR News in Little Rock, this is a look at Arkansas news, politics, and more. Coming up,
Governor Asa Hutchinson signs his highway bill into law.
But some lawmakers are worried that will dilute the political will for long-term changes.
The Arkansas Supreme Court says it will consider whether same-sex parents can have both names on their kids' birth certificates.
Meanwhile, it also rules against a food company in a labor dispute.
For the week ending Friday, May 27th, 2016, this is KUAR's Week in Review podcast. I'm Michael Hiplin.
I'm Sarah Weitz-Kotichek.
And I'm Jacob Kaufman.
That's just ahead. On Monday, a special session of the Arkansas legislature, devoted mainly to highway funding, came to an end, and within a couple of hours of final passage by the Senate, Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson stood alongside highway officials in the state and signed the bill.
With that, Arkansas Highway Improvement Plan of 2016 has now been signed into law, and we've got some work to do. Y'all got some highways to build?
And Jacob, this came after some initial resistance to the governor's plan, and there had been competing plans presented in the legislature. And it took some maneuvering to actually get the governor's plan to go through and to go before both full chambers.
Unlike the previous governor, Governor Mike Beebe, every time we had a special session, he promised going in that the votes are already lined up. It's going to be 3 days, the minimum allowed by the law to get bills passed out of every committee and out every chamber to the governor's desk. But Governor Hutchinson, he has a little bit of a different style. It's clear that he had a good amount of support for his highway bill going into the special session. Obviously, he wouldn't have called it if he didn't think it had a good chance of passing. But there were some alternative proposals from members of his own party, which was a little surprising. Some of these alternative proposals included a tax increase, a small diesel tax increase, to have one of a traditionally user-based fee to help pay for roadways instead of taking money from general revenue like the governor's plan does. But to your point that there was a little bit of difficulty initially, there's a Senate committee that had the governor's bill in there and led by Republicans in that Senate committee. They opted not to pass the governor's bill. Instead, they passed a one-year version of it by Senator Jimmy Hickey of Texarkana. And his hope was that if we have 1 year of funding, then we make sure we get the $200 million in federal money that we're trying to achieve. And then next year, in the lengthier regular session, we'll have an opportunity to get a more long-term-based approach that a lot of senators feel a little bit rushed on it. But ultimately, the House ended up passing the governor's version, all 5 years of it. And so when the Senate then received the House's version, they simply referred it to a different committee, bypassing that gridlocked Senate Transportation Committee. And it passed by huge margins in both chambers, being sent to the governor's desk.
Well, speaking after the signing ceremony, the governor really took this as a victory.
The key is that it is a plan that allows us to meet the federal match that will ultimately result in a $1 billion highway program over 5 years. So it's a unique solution for a unique challenge that we had in this state. The legislature, the task force, everyone met that challenge and came out with a result that did not raise taxes, but resulted in a $1 billion highway program over 5 years. This is what I would consider success, and I'm delighted with the highway bill.
But Sarah, you spoke with many lawmakers Monday immediately after this passed the Senate, and there are some who still don't feel this is the correct approach, that a long-term approach to addressing the shortfall in highway funding is needed.
Yeah, lawmakers on both sides of the aisle were saying that this is a short-term approach and that it doesn't really solve a bigger picture problem. I spoke to House Majority Leader Republican Ken Bragg, and he said what he wants is to put a tax increase to voters, although he does recognize the need for a new revenue source for highways. And I also spoke with Senate Minority Leader Democrat Keith Ingram right after the Senate approved this plan, and he said that he also didn't think taking from general revenue was really a viable way to fund highways.
Common sense dictates that, you know, it's not a surplus and it's part of the budget. And the thing that's troubling is that this money will come ahead of all others state needs.
The state recently approved some more facilities funding this week, but he referenced education funding for facilities that funding source has dwindled down and is really inadequate compared to the vast costs that the state will be facing to address disrepair in school buildings. So among other things, education budgets, other aspects of the services that would potentially come out of general revenue.
Because this is the first time ever that the state of Arkansas would use general revenue, whether it be from the surplus or other parts of general revenue, to pay for highways. So that's part of the reason why people are pointing to that. And that some of the specifics of the funding, at least, not this year, but every subsequent year, they're going to take 25% of the surplus to pay for highways. And of course, the surplus size changes based on how much money they allocate to other things, like you're mentioning academic facilities and things like that.
And this, they only approved this for 1 year, but I spoke with Senator Missy Irvin, who said, you know, what we need to see is the trickle-down effect of businesses improving income in the state, wealth growing. So we just need the economy to be better, and then we'll have an easier time getting revenue from taxes.
And talk, too, about whether or not we need to do things like raise fuel taxes in Arkansas. Or many were saying that this is something that they'll bring up next year during the regular session of the legislature. But Governor Hutchinson spoke directly about Senator Ingram's concerns during Monday's press conference.
I understand that there are some, including Senator Ingram, that criticized it because it was a short-term plan. But in fact, the only other plan that was on the table was a one-year plan. The plan that I presented is a five-year plan. And so this is a five-year plan that carries us through the length of the federal highway bill and the need that we have for matching funds. So I would certainly consider this an intermediate plan that we have, but it also has structural changes that, even though it had sunsets in 5 years, but you've got beyond the surplus additional revenue streams that have never existed before for our highway department. So I think time will tell how well this works and what additional changes need to be made down the road. I do believe that there's a case that can be made for a long-term highway plan. These commissioners make that every day to me. And so there are greater needs, and I know the overlay program for our highways in Arkansas is a significant need. My judgment is that this ought to be brought before the voters in 2018. If they want to have a more aggressive long-term plan for the highways. Others believe it ought to be brought up in the session in January.
Does that seem realistic, actually, long-term changes being made by lawmakers next year, Jacob?
There's certainly a lot of lawmakers that want to look at that, but those same lawmakers wanted to look into it preceding the special session and didn't end up happening. I just want to mention the governor is calling his plan an intermediate plan and doesn't like people characterizing it as a short-term plan. The reason that happened in part is because for weeks the governor himself was calling it a short-term plan and he started switching it to calling it an intermediate plan. But anyway, so the governor says his plan is 5 years matching the federal highway plan, but it doesn't mean I think that it'll look the same in 5 years as it does today. Here's Representative Andy Davis. He had some alternative plans before the session. He ended up not filing any of those bills. Instead, he ended up leading the effort for the governor in the House, sponsoring his bill. He certainly thinks that there's an appetite for some sort of change.
I don't think this is the end of highway bills for 5 years. I think there is not necessarily an appetite for a fuel tax. There's an appetite for more highway funding. This bill that we're running today is going to match federal funds, which will all be restricted to use on federal highways. So we still need additional funds for use on state highways.
Do you think there's any kind of consensus, though, even though it's not going to happen in this session, towards what that long-term mechanism is for funding?
I still think the only consensus is that we need more funding. I don't see a lot of consensus over how to get there.
So fellow Republican Representative Bob Ballinger, he expects some tweaks on the governor's bill as early as next year's legislative session as well. Of course, it's a while away from that. Here's Representative Ballinger and what he thinks that could include.
You know, what I would expect is a tweak that goes that direction. And that's kind of what I would anticipate is over time, that's probably what we'll be seeing, is more and more of those tweaks to put together a long-term plan. That'd be my guess. Although, you know, we may get something that's an omnibus, you know, plan that incorporates a lot of things, but I would kind of bet that it'll probably end up being some sort of maybe a small increase on diesel because the Truckers Association is okay with it, that is offset by an income tax cut would be my guess. But honestly, who knows?
So we've got Republicans who voted for the governor's plan, who helped lead the governor's plan, saying they want to pursue some changes possibly. Democrats, not too many of them, but Democratic Minority Leader Michael John Gray, he preferred that one-year version of the bill that never got out of the Senate committee that was led by Republican Senator Jimmy Hickey. And his main concern is he really wanted to get that $200 million in federal matching funds, so he's glad that we have the one-year plan in place. But he's worried that because we passed a five-year version, just because that now exists, it'll be harder to change anything in the future.
What my fear now is we've created a default position that when it gets hard, when a new plan that people like Representative Davis and Representative Jett have put a lot of time into exploring highway plans, and I feel like now that if we run into any kind of political wall, we'll default to this plan.
So that's the situation we have going into next year. No concrete ideas. A lot of Republicans had floated the idea of some small diesel tax increase because it's one of those traditional user-based fees, but pairing it at the same time with an income tax cut. That way it would appeal to some conservatives who don't want to raise a tax because at the same time you're cutting another tax, keeps the program revenue neutral. That's something the governor has wanted. But then, of course, the argument will go to who's going to get those tax cuts. Andy Davis wants it to be the top income brackets. Michael John Gray and Democrats want it to be the bottom 40% of Arkansans. They were left out of the governor's last round of tax cuts.
Well, I know y'all spoke at great lengths last week about the other measures that were brought up during the session. The governor wanted it to focus on highways, but you had about a dozen other items. Anything really stick out to you now here with the session over about the other items that ended up passing? I guess in particular the efficiency bill was maybe the second most controversial item.
Yeah, I think there are 14 other things on the call altogether, and I'd encourage people to listen to the last podcast if they want to get a good snippet of them. Chris Hickey and I went through a lot of the different bills and kind of detailed them. No big changes or surprises from last week on any of them. The one that didn't pass was one merging two technical colleges in Northeast Arkansas. But since then, the president of one of those colleges has started a plan to reach out to other university systems in the state to figure out how to get a merger done. They're worried that the legislature will succeed eventually in forcing that merger, so they're going to try to preempt it and get the merger on their own terms, if that seems like what's in their future. The efficiency bill, that's been making a lot of news, and I'm sure it will be into next week as well. The biggest issue or high-profile issue is that the governor is changed, or not the governor, the legislature has changed who controls the governor's mansion. There used to be a historic commission that approved all the modifications and decorations and things like that. Now the power is a lot more consolidated under one department that has strong ties to the governor's office. And I saw something in the paper this morning that while the governor's office maintains that the idea to change control of the mansion that he lives in came from someone outside of his office, that it wasn't him, that there's some stories today about Susan Hutchinson, first lady, wanting to move a statue and needing a few hundred thousand dollars to move the statue where she wants, building a reflecting pool and redirecting money to things like buying TVs. But I haven't covered that.
Well, a couple of items before the Arkansas Supreme Court this week. At least the court, first off, said that it will hear oral arguments in a lawsuit about whether married same-sex couples can have the names of both spouses on the birth certificates of their children without a court order. And this is something we covered late last year. And the judge, this is all about the appeal of Judge Tim Fox's ruling that struck down part of the state's birth certificate law as unconstitutional. He did issue a stay on his ruling, except for the three couples that had actually brought the lawsuit who were able to have their names put on the birth certificates of their children. We don't know yet when that's going to happen, when the oral arguments will be heard. But another issue related to that goes back to same-sex marriage that's going to be taken up at some point. Also, we had oral arguments, or actually, we had a decision this week from the state's high court saying that a baby food manufacturer must pay more than $3 million to work for the time they spend dressing and undressing, getting into their uniforms and protective gear. And, sir, this is similar to another case involving people working in the poultry industry and whether or not they should be paid for that time putting on extensive gear and uniforms.
Yeah, that was a Tyson Food case, and so has another Arkansas tie, and went to the Supreme Court. The issue contested there was whether the workers could sue as a class, and the court ruled in favor of the workers and upheld a lower court's ruling. But it was a really significant question about whether class action lawsuits in labor cases could be viable. And I guess following the Supreme Court's validation of that, the Arkansas Supreme Court ruled in favor, granting $3 million in pay from Gerber Baby Food Company, which has a plant in Fort Smith, to workers there that argued that the time they spent getting ready, putting on protective gear, and getting their uniforms on and off, which was required for their job, but they should be paid for that. That's something that sometimes labor unions will bargain away in order, as a part of negotiations with the company. In this case, the union had, for a period of time, bargained that right away. Federal law, there's an exemption that allows for that kind of bargaining, and the state court here ruled that state law about minimum wage actually has a more restrictive standard for not allowing labor unions to make that decision on behalf of their workers. I spoke with legal professor Teresa Beiner at the University of Arkansas Bowen School of Law. She kind of broke it down for me.
Federal law permits a labor union on behalf of its employees to collectively bargain not to have this kind of time of doffing and donning clothes as compensable work time. As a general matter, if your employer requires you to put on specialized clothing or specialized gear as part of your job, that is considered part of the workday. There's a specific exemption in federal labor law, however, for unions to collectively bargain that away. So essentially, a union might say, hey, we would prefer to have higher wages and not have this time that we're putting on clothing or protective gear count as compensable time. So they can collective bargain it away under federal law. In Arkansas here, they basically said that there is no such exemption under the Arkansas Minimum Wage Act, that you can't collectively bargain away this compensable time if indeed it is required by your job.
So in one of the states with the lowest union presence in the country, it just stood out to me that the state Supreme Court is following a stricter standard for the labor issue here than we get generally nationwide.
And finally, we had this week, we learned that four of the five insurers offering policies on Arkansas's insurance marketplace are asking for rate increases of at least 10%. A couple of these very significant rate increases of 23%. And this is the first time that the companies have requested these increases since the state's Medicaid expansion program took effect. And so far, Jacob, at this point, state officials, the insurance commissioner, as well as Governor Hutchinson, said they don't believe there is substantial justification for the increase. But what does this seem to suggest?
Well, if you're a Republican lawmaker and most of the state's congressional delegation has come out right away and said these insurance hikes are an inevitable rate of Obamacare, that they predicted that insurance premiums would go up if the federal health care law was passed. The Department of Health and Human Services at the federal level, they issued a statement saying it's kind of wrong to see it as a 20% or 15% or whatever it is rate increase for the actual person getting the insurance. Because what we're talking about are private plans, not Medicaid, private plans that are on the healthcare exchange set up by the Affordable Care Act. And so all these plans, people apply for them, and the whole point of the affordable part of the Affordable Care Act was that they would get subsidies to get the insurance. So even though the entire plan might go up by 15%, In effect, the subsidies will also go up in covering the same percentage of the plan as before, so the individual consumer might be only paying a couple more dollars, not this giant rate hike that is kind of in there in the news. But also part of the Affordable Care Act, it gives the government some power to regulate insurance companies trying to raise their premiums. That's something Republicans opposed. They don't want the government telling private companies what to make their rates. However, we now have a Republican governor and the Republican Insurance Commissioner, Alan Kerr, using the law that was given to them, saying that there's not a justification for these rate hikes. So anything above 10%, the state gets to approve or not. So we'll see what they end up deciding and what the insurance companies, how they make their case or not. But, I mean, I'm sure that if you're a consumer or if you're the state, you don't want the premiums to go up. But the insurance companies say that they need to go up to cover their costs.
Yeah, and Commissioner Kerr said there will be an extensive review looking at the justifications for this. So we'll see. Well, with that, we'll wrap up this week's podcast. I'm Michael Hiplin.
I'm Sarah Weitz-Kotichek.
And I'm Jacob Kaufman.
Thanks for listening. Our theme song is by our own Chris Hickey. KUAR is a listener-supported service of the University of Arkansas at Little Rock.